Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Prophetess Crystal this morning is out with a assignment that she's doing, amen. But I'm here all the same, amen. And we're happy that you joined us for the Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. I want you to know this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This morning, we have a definite word from the Lord. I'm just thanking God for all that He has done and all that He has spoken to us and through us. We'll be going into Isaiah this morning, man. But before I go into Isaiah, the sixth chapter, let's give you a few announcements. Join us every Tuesday for and Saturday for Kingdom Lifestyles. Tuesday at 7 p.m., Saturday at 10:30 a.m., Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. And also on Thursday at 7 p.m. for Women of, for Prophetic Atmosphere. Amen. I'm jumping ahead of myself already. But for Prophetic Atmospheres with none other than Prophetess Crystal McQueen, I want you to know we have a few things that will be coming up. Thank God for the New Hope Word of Life Church in Titusville. We had an awesome time on Thursday night, amen, with the pastor's anniversary. God met us there. Last night in Sabring, Florida, at the Benjamin Davis Church of God in Christ, with Pastor Saunders for the men's conference, we had an awesome time. This morning, I'm a little tired in my body, but I'm still charged up from this past couple of nights. Amen. Tonight will be in Cocoa, Florida, and tomorrow we'll be traveling with Pastor Bryant in the Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church as they go down to Jupiter, Florida. Amen. So we're doing many things, and God is really blessing us. We want you to join us if you can at any time that you hear us going out. You know, it is a blessing to know that you have been blessed by the Lord, and the Lord has touched you, and this ministry has touched your life. And we ask that you go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you learn more about us. I pray that you'll become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread this gospel around the world. If you are on Facebook, then we have pages, I guess that's what they're called, the like pages, amen. Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, you can go there and like us on our page. Also, Woman of Prophetic Destiny, there's a page there for Prophetess Crystal and the work that God has given her. Go to those pages, like us on the page, drop us a message, ask us about a prayer request, ministry engagement, anything that you would like. Maybe you just need someone to pray with you and touch and agree. Well, that's how you can contact us, amen. Or you can send your email inquiries and messages to us from our website. Last page is the contact us page, and on that page you'll see my name, you'll see Prophetess' name, you'll see the names of a few of the bishops and ministries that are under our ministerial covering or under our Christ the King Redemptive Ministries covering. Amen. We ask that you sow a seed to help us with our ministry so that we can continue doing what God has called us to do. Amen. Well, in everything, you know that it takes money, amen, to do what needs to be done. And we don't come to you asking you for a lot, but every once in a while we remind you that it does take finances in order to do work of the ministry. Amen. So with that said, let's go ahead into prayer. Oh, before I go into prayer, I almost forgot something. Amen. On October 18th and 19th in Cocoa, Florida, at the Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. Thank God for Pastor Bryant, who is letting us use his facilities for this. There will be the Woman of Prophetic Destiny Conference. Amen. And the theme is, don't abort your assignment. Amen. We have several speakers and ministering gifts that will be in the house, both in song. We have liturgical dancers. I'll tell you, the praise team and the band, I've been working with them, and we're ready to get in and get down. Amen. Giving God some praise. Amen. So we want you to come out and be a part of that. If you are in the Central Florida area, in Cocoa, Florida, amen, then come on by. We have people who are flying in from Texas as well as Nebraska to come out and be a part of this wonderful conference, as well as other places. Amen. We are working now to see if we'll be able to stream it, or if we'll have to upload it later or whatever. But we want you to be a part of the live event. You know, you can look at something in remembrance in the form of a DVD, but there's nothing like being in the atmosphere when the presence of the Lord is there. Amen. I'll tell you right now, one of the primary focuses that we will be, that we have, is making sure that the atmosphere is conducive to miracles, signs, and wonders. This will not just be a conference. This is going to be an experience, and I want you to be a part of that experience. Amen? Amen. Now let's go ahead into prayer, and then we can get into this word. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I bless you. I praise you. Lord, I thank you because you are awesome in all that you do. All that you say to us, Lord, has come to pass. You're not a God that lies, but you're a God that keeps your promise. Lord, we thank you right now for the ability to minister to your people. And even now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are my strength. You are my redeemer. In the name of Jesus, oh God, I pray right now that the ears of the listeners be open to receive the word. Their eyes will be open that they perceive in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the outcome, every miracle, sign, and wonder that will take place, because we are obedient to not just hearing this word, but to doing it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. This morning, we want to go to Isaiah, the sixth chapter, I was sharing with the men yesterday this powerful passage of scripture. And as I was doing so, the Holy Spirit began to give me revelation in certain things. And I just want to share a little bit of this with you this morning. We'll see how it goes from here. We definitely want to continue in the vein, amen, that the Spirit has us. And you'll notice from time to time that we'll preach in a certain area, and then he'll give us relief to begin to preach somewhere else, amen. I've learned that it's easier for me to follow the Spirit of God than to try to put together catchy messages that may tickle someone's ear. If I put together a message and try to articulate it, that means that I did some forethought. And when the Holy Spirit decides that he wants to shift, you know, sometimes people are not prepared for the shift. And they go ahead and give the wrong message because they haven't gone in to see what the right message would be. Amen. And I found it's better to get in his word and pray and ask God to lead me so that whatever he needs to get from me for his people, he can pull out of it. Amen. Pull out of me. So if I put it in, he can pull out whatever he needs. Amen. And this is one of those times when he has, when I went down, they had a thing that they had of men ready to accept God's call. And the scripture was here in Isaiah, this chapter, the 8th verse. Also, I heard the Lord, the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." Amen. And I began to deal with that. And as the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, he began to show me certain things here. One of the things that we want to look at, starting at the first verse, is the fact that Isaiah the prophet here in the 6th chapter is recalling his initiation into the prophetic. For the first 5 chapters, he has already prophesied and has been prophesying. So at the 6th chapter, he takes a break and he goes back to the very beginning when he first received the call. Amen. And we see it here. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. That word right there, those words there, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, helps us to understand that this was not a vision that he had that was a closed stream or a passing fancy. It was actually an open revelation or open vision that he had concerning God. Amen. So I saw the Lord, and then he begins to describe the majesty of the vision. He was high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face. With 2 he covered his feet. And with 2 he flew. And one cried to the other and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, this is Isaiah speaking, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphims flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." Then we get into that verse. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me." Now, I'm going to stop right there, and we may pick this up and finish during this this time of ministry within this broadcast or the next one or following, finish this chapter out. There's a lot of things here, though, that we have to really take time with. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit began to share with me is that after all is said and done, there has to be a revelation of who God is in your life. What do I mean by that? You have to have a come to Jesus moment. A come to Jesus moment is not a moment where, you know, you finally get the aha, you know, concerning something. It is the moment when you realize and recognize that without him, you would be nothing. And I think that there's a lot of people who have come up around church folks, and some people who have come up in church, never left the church, afraid to go outside the church, but you never really got serious about your relationship while you were still there. So you become a carnal Christian. You one who live on the fringe, but you never become one who is in the heart of Christianity. You become one who understands the movement around you, so you learn how to say hallelujah at the right time and thank you, Jesus, at the right time. But you never really got involved in the work of the ministry. You never really gave him your heart. You know, you sang a song, and every once in a while you got a favorite song, and it'll touch your heart. And when it touches you, you'll respond. You may cry. You know, you may have a moment, but really, you never really had a repentance moment. Each and every one of us has to have a come to Jesus moment. Here it is that as the prophet Isaiah is dealing with the revelation of the King of Hosts, of the King of Kings, the Lord of Hosts, he has a revelation of his majesty. Amen. And as he's dealing with the majesty of the Lord, dealing with his awesomeness, the power that rests inside of him, and that splendor that was the throne in heaven, he began to feel his weakness. Amen. He begins to say that, woe is me, for I am undone. And this is where we have to really begin to look at this seriously, because we see before this, the ones who are crying out, the seraphims, have six wings. Two wings, they cover their faces so that even though the glory of the Lord is there, they don't behold his glory, because that belongs to God alone. And I think when we recognize that the glory belongs to him alone, we'll stop trying to behold all of his glory. What are you saying? I'm saying that the glory belongs to God, but the seraphims here covered their face so as not to covet the glory of God. And what we have done is we understand that we want his glory. We want his presence. We want his him here with us. But some have begun to covet all of that for themselves. As the children of God, we have the ability to observe his attributes. Even as Moses in the cleft of the rock was caused to see the hinder parts of God. When the people saw him, his face shone as bright as the sun, yet and still, he did not take the glory of God for himself. And that's the problem that some have today, is that they have taken that glory that has been revealed to them, and they wear it as a badge of who I am. Moses felt even more inadequate towards the task that has been given him, because he saw the greatness of God, and the Lord reassured him of who he was. Amen. We see that Moses still had some issues in his life, but Moses knew God. Amen. And so it is here when we deal with Isaiah. Isaiah sees these seraphims. seraphims are covering their face so that they covet not the glory of God. Amen. But they also have two wings that cover their feet. That means in service to God, they are very careful not to be boisterous in it. Amen. Amen. They're not showboaty about it. Amen. So they cover their feet because they have walked in the presence of the King. Amen. And what they're showing is humility in service. Amen. So as they're showing humility in service, they're going forward, not coveting, not showboating who they are, but serving in humility. And I think it's high time that those of us in leadership get back to some of the humility of the offices we walk in. You know, we become more and more aggrandized in our own eyes, and we try to overtly show that to the world, amen, because we want them to respect us and honor us at the level we feel that we should be respected. But if we're Christians, we should follow Christ. And Christ, Jesus, he knew that coming down as the Son of God, he had that authority behind him. Yet he took on the form of a servant. Amen? It's in the Word. Amen? He took on the form of a servant, and then he did not try to boast himself up or boost himself up. Even when they came after him and began to speak to him and say different things, he had the ability at any time, to turn around and say, you don't know who I am. I am the Son of God. I am God in flesh form. I am Emmanuel. But we don't see him doing that because he was more about the assignment that he was on instead of who saw him on the assignment that he was on. Amen. So we see a humility in service here. Amen. It was two wings that didn't fly. That means that they weren't slow in doing what they were given as tasks, as assignments. When the Lord speaks, they were quick to move so that it could be accomplished. Amen. His will be done. Amen. And we have to do that ourselves. Look at the fact that when you are given an assignment, you should complete it as quickly as possible with as much integrity as you can possibly give it. If you're doing things just so they can say, I ain't do nothing, well, I'm going to do this over here so they can say, they can see I did something here, then maybe that's not what you need to be doing. Because your heart really isn't in the assignment. Amen. Your heart is in trying to make sure nobody can say nothing to you. So you do just enough to say that you are part of it, but not enough to actually accomplish anything in it. Amen. And we got to get back to doing what Jesus said. My food is to do the work of him who sent me and to finish his work. Or do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. It is the purpose of God, his will, his design, his desire that we have to be so focused on that our life goes along as we see it fulfilling the will of God. Amen. Then you'll walk into blessing. You'll walk into benefit. Favor will precede you and favor will follow you. Amen. Grace and mercy will cover you and you'll have a full a whole life, amen. He won't give you too much so that you you become someone who is overwhelmed, amen. But he won't give you so little that you are in need, amen. He'll make sure that you're comfortable in your going, amen. And when you need a little bit more, you'll find out that just like the prophet or just like the woman who gave to the prophet, went to the meal barrel. Every time you go in to get something, it's there. Whenever you use your flask of oil and you turn it over to pour out, it will pour for you. Because God doesn't give you too much. God gives you enough. Amen. I wish I had time to preach that one right now.
Oh.
Huh? Because we think that we have to have a whole bunch sitting over there where everybody can see it. And God wants us to know that you don't have to have everything sitting in front of you. What you need to have is access to your resource. And when you are connected to him, Jesus is our source. Amen? So they're quick to do what he's called them to do. And now here he is, Isaiah, seeing all of this. And he begins to deal with the fact that he's seen worship. He's seen service. He's singing praise manifested. Huh? In the fourth verse, we see something that is very visual and very dynamic. The Bible says, and the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. I shared before, and I'll say it again, you have to understand that the Shekinah glory has the shimmer part of it, which is the cloud. It is the cloud, which is the glow, if you will. But then there's the kabod, which is the weight of his glory. So the glory comes in, and it brings a weight about it, as well as it brings a visual, a theophany, if you will, a visual representation of the presence of God. Amen? So he's seeing this. But you have to understand that the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who spoke. Huh? And I asked this question yesterday, and I'll ask the question of you. When's the last time you had a praise that shook the post of the door? We've learned how to be cutesy in our praise. We learn how to be we practice shouting. We practice praising. Huh? But back in the day, mother in them, pastor in them, the prayer warriors, they weren't intercessors, as we call them today. They were prayer warriors back in that day. Amen. Mothers and brothers of the church would get together and cry out to God. And they would cry out to God, and you would walk in the church, and you would walk in the prayer meeting, and you would hear, "Oh, Jesus, oh," and they would be crying out, and the whole atmosphere in that place, when you walked in, you felt the presence of God. It was something that we look for and we strive for today. But as the Lord has taken some of the older saints on, we have lost the ability to create that atmosphere. We have churches now that have programs that are so polished that if the Holy Spirit came in and said, "Lay before me," you don't have room on your agenda for that. So as soon as somebody begins to lay on an altar, you take them to a prayer room, so that they can lay out there, because you know the program got to go on. When do we get back to the place where the Holy Spirit is governing the worship? When do we get back to the place where the Holy Spirit can have his way in our midst without us worrying about our agendas, our programs, our format, our protocol? Amen. See, sometimes when you are following him, we'll put together a program, and we used to say we put together a program, but the Holy Spirit has the right to edit it at any time. We stopped saying that because the Holy Spirit was disrupting my solo. I've been practicing this. I want to get up and sing it. I told my grandbaby that they can do their praise dance, and I want to make sure they get up here. And if y'all stop, then they can get up here and dance, because I think she's just so wonderful, and I want to encourage her. Listen, it wasn't about your cute grandbaby back in the day. Amen. It was about God getting the glory. And in the middle of service, you could be trying to get a song to go, and the Holy Spirit says, "No, no." And the pastor would stand up and say, "No, we're not moving no further. The Holy Spirit wants us here. Here now, everybody, you need to either hit your knees or do whatever you need to do, but we're crying out before God right now. We are crying out before the King of Kings. He wants worship, and that's what we're doing." We lost that in church, trying to be so deep and wonderful that we begin to, instead of going after him, we're waiting on him to validate us. Huh? And when we look for him to validate us, and he don't validate us in our program, then we say the people didn't get with us. But we need to go back to this point here. When we begin to cry out with a voice, give him praise, give him worship, when we begin to honor him, when we begin to worship him, when we begin to lay out before him, regardless if it's your Sunday morning service, your noonday prayer during the week, if it's your Tuesday, Wednesday night Bible study, prayer meeting, whatever it is, if it's your evangelistic Friday night or what have you, if he can have his way, then we will start to see that the posts of our doors will be shaken. And everything that the enemy tried to do against us will be taken off hinge. Huh? Things will be stirred up. Things will be torn down. Things will be settled. Things will be adjusted. Amen? See, God has a way. I don't care if they've already closed the file and put a seal on it. He has a way of breaking a seal and putting in his will. See, when you look at it and you think it's done, then you have to understand that God has already got a plan that was greater than what that was. Sometimes God shuts doors because greater ones are opening. And we sit at the other door waiting on it to open back. When God said, if you would simply follow me, I'm going to show you the door that's open. If your praise proceeds, you can see where your praise goes in and out. And wherever your praise enters, you know you can go too. Amen. So here in the fourth verse, the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. It is the visual response of God to a praise that proceeds. When you usher in the praise and you reverence him, that he responds. The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. That word inhabit means that he enthrones himself in that praise. Amen. And if he's enthroned himself in the praise, then that means as he is ruling over your life and over the praiser's life, then he is free then to make mandates and dictates that are to your benefit. Amen. So as he's sitting there, he sees the needs in your life, and he begins to deal with that need. That's why they say when praises go up, blessings will come down. Amen. Because he'll come down. The blesser comes down and brings the blessings with them. He begins to distribute them out when your praise has created a throne, a throne for him. Amen. The house was filled with smoke. And then it's at this point then that Isaiah recognizes his inadequacies. He sees his deficiencies. He sees his flaws and shortcomings. He sees that although he has done some good things in life, he hasn't always done the greatest things in life. It is what the Spirit of Truth does when he comes in. He comes in and he reveals every flaw. He comes in and he reveals every shortcoming. He comes in and he reveals that you ain't all that you thought you were. He comes in and shows you that self-righteous mind is not the will of God through Christ Jesus. And he begins to challenge you to come up to another level. So here Isaiah is saying that, he says, woe is me, for I am undone. Notice the word undone. Amen. That means that every place he thought that he had put it together right, every place he thought that he had it together and he had fooled everybody, he had not fooled God. Everything that he thought he had done was undone. It was not finished. It was not secure. Amen. So he is now saying, woe is me, for I am done, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King. And there should be a spirit of repentance whenever you go before God. If you can go before God with your laundry list of what you want him to do, or your grocery list, or your Christmas list, your wish list that you want him, then you need to be able to, when you go before him, you need to be able to see the list of your shortcomings. You need to see the list of your deficiencies. So when he says that, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. He qualifies why he's saying that. Not because I'm here, but because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So whenever we go before God, we should have in our heart a repentance. That's why we start off with, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. If there's anything that I've done, Lord, forgive me for it in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we honor you. We bless you. We go forward to do what you called us to do. See, when you come before him and you begin to honor him with a repentance, then what it says is that before I come to you feeling like I deserve this, I realize that all my thoughts may not have been pure. My motives may not have been direct. There may have been some things inside of me that would cause me to be disqualified in your presence. So before I do anything, cover me with the blood. Cover me with the blood of Jesus that covers my sins and washes away my iniquities. Help me so that I can walk forward and do what you called me to do without my flesh discrediting my message in the name of Jesus. As we begin to pray those things and walk forward, then we can do what he's called us to do without feeling that we have worked to it or that we earned it, amen? Because if the Holy Spirit doesn't work through you, if God doesn't put the grace upon you and validate it, then you're just doing a whole lot of actions, but you're not getting nothing done, amen? So when he says this, woe is me, for I am undone, he's saying, listen, I thought I had together, but I don't. Because I am a man of unclean lips. It means that some things that have come or have proceeded from me have not been honorable towards God. And I think once we begin to look at that and take ownership of it, then we'll recognize that there's some things that have come forth from us that haven't mirrored God either. Amen? Some of the places where we've gone, some of the things that we have been a part of or been party to, some of the things that we have observed have not honored God in any shape, form, or fashion. It is because of that that your atmosphere is that way. He says, because I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell, that means that my environment is in the midst of a people of unclean lips. We all doing the same thing. Amen? So, when he sees that, then he begins to see that there is something that needs to be done concerning his situation and his status in life, amen. His status before the King of Kings. He has revealed himself to me in his majesty, yet I find myself wanting in his presence. I don't feel that I'm clean like I thought I was. I tried to buy the best. I tried to put on the best. I sprinkled on or I sprayed on the best smell good. I got my bling on. I got my rings and all the rest of that. I'm trying to walk in and look. I got the right shoes. I got the right name on the lining or on the collar of my shirts. I got the right tie. It's perfectly tied and everything else. The hanky in my pocket is styled in such a way that it just brings a splash and it just pops when I walk in. I command the atmosphere. Yet in his presence, I look like a wrinkled up, crumbled up piece of paper. Nothing. Because he is the one. Huh? And while I'm sitting there looking at how undone I am, and I'm talking about how I don't mirror and I don't deserve his glory. I don't deserve his presence. I don't deserve to have seen him because there's nothing good about myself. While he's there in his pity party beating himself up, the sixth verse says, then one of the seraphims flew to me having in his hand a live coal. Amen. And that live coal right there is very important because this coal right here was something that was used as a cleansing agent. Amen. The Holy Spirit showed me that it was live, which means in the text, it means that it was glowing orange, hot. I mean, it was at its peak. Amen. So that means when he brought it to him, he brought it to him and touched his mouth. You see that? And when he brought it to him, he took out of him what was foul
You see that? He took out of him what was obscene. He took out of him what was not right. He took all that ungodly out of him. Every excuse that he had for why he shouldn't be here was taken away from him with one action. You see this? Look what it says here. Let's read on. It says, behold, this has touched your lips. 7 verse. And your iniquity is taken away. And one fell swoop. His reason for beating himself up was taken. And your sin purged. You have to understand that when you got saved, the blood of Jesus did exactly what this live coal did. The blood was applied to your life. The efficacious properties of that blood means that when he shed it at Calvary, it had the power to deliver and to redeem. And today, if you apply it to your life and to your sins, guess what? It has the power to purge them out too. Amen? So when he used this live coal to cleanse him, he was demonstrating something that we would today experience as the blood of Jesus applied to our lives. So while the enemy is trying to remind you of your past and what you've done, and where you've been and who you hung around and you know your family and all the rest of that, guess what? After all is said and done, my life has been changed. My life has been cleansed. My iniquities are taken away. My sins have been purged. It's been covered by the blood of Jesus. Huh? And when he does this, he doesn't do this just so you can have a clean conscience. He's not doing this to wipe the slate of consciousness. Huh? He's not resetting your moral reserve, you know, reestablishing it and help you have something there that you can fall back on. It's not for that ever. Whenever God comes and intervenes in your life, it's because he has a job for you. There is an assignment. And if you listen to this ministry at all, you will always hear us talking about your assignment, his purpose, his will, but your assignment. You see that? It's your assignment because he has delegated it. And when you choose to be used by him and you accept what he's delegated, you take ownership of the assignment that he gives you. Amen? So when you begin to do that, then you begin to walk in the authority that he's given. Huh? He's empowering you to do the work that he's called you to do. Here we see this. Behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sins purged. So we say now that you have been rectified, now that you have been redeemed, now that you have been qualified, now that you have gone through the process of taking you from your woe is me to your prepared for the work of ministry, now what do I do? Then the Lord speaks a word. Here we see it in the 8th verse where it says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? In other words, you are prepared, but you still haven't accepted the assignment to go. You see that? See, the thing is that we keep going back up to the woe is me. So whenever God calls us, the enemy takes you back to woe is me. Well, you know, you ain't never, you don't know enough scripture. Well, you know, you still dealing with some stuff. Well, you got some issues in your life. Well, you know, your family ain't never really accepted the fact that you go to church at all. And now here you are trying to be, maybe you trying to do too much. You see what I'm saying? All this stuff is what the enemy uses to keep you from being prepared and ready to move. I remember, being a police officer, we would get ready at a staging area when we had different events. We would get to the staging area, we would get our instructions as a whole, and then we would get our assignments. And then our job is to go to the place where our assignment was and patrol and be ready for whatever happens. You see that? So now, before I got the call to go to a staging area, I had already gone through the police academy. Amen. I had learned the laws. I had learned the local laws. I had learned weapon retention. I had also learned the nomenclature of my weapon systems that I had. So I wouldn't be out there. What would happen to a police officer if he had a cartridge or a bullet that didn't clear the chamber? And the cartridge didn't fully eject. How do you clear that? Because if you have your weapon out and you have to discharge it, obviously there's a situation that you as law enforcement need to be able to engage. Souls or lives are at stake here. Amen. So if I don't know how to deal with the nomenclature of my weapon system, then that means all the enemy has to do is wait for me to have a system malfunction. And since I don't know it, I don't know how to clear it or how to correct it, I'm out the fight. So before I get to that, at that staging area, they make sure I know all of that. Know how to talk to people, know how to fill out the proper paperwork for documentation. I know how to do all of that and get it all together. And then after all is said and done, then I go to that place. Notice I have not engaged in anyone yet. Amen. I go to a staging area. At that staging area, we learn what we need to do in our assignment there. We partner up with whoever is going to be support for us as we go forward. And then they dispatch us into our area. And as we go out to the area, you don't have to do anything until you're given a call. Now, the call when we say a call, it's a call for response. You understand? And here we see this, is that Isaiah has gone through all of that, and he has gone to the station area. He has been prepared. He's going through the process. He knows what to do now. He's ready. And now the question comes, whom shall I send? They used to do it over the radio. General broadcast. This or that or the other. And then they would give a timestamp about it. This, that, or the other were different calls that were waiting for officers to free up on their pressing call so someone could take another call for service. In other words, it's a whom shall I send or who will go for us. I like the word and here in this sentence because it brings something to light that we need to talk about right here. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Because there are people who don't mind being sent. As long as they ain't asked to do nothing when they get there. In other words, I'll go to back you up, but I'm not going to do the work. Lord Jesus. They'll show up as a wonderful support system, but what happens when the Lord wants to send you with the message and somebody else needs to go and support you? Are you ready to step forward so that he can use you? And will you do what he sent you to go do? You see that? Not just whom shall I send, because there's a lot of people who went and didn't complete the assignment. Jesus said, not only was my food to do the will of him who sent me, but he continues and to finish his work. So it's not just whom shall I send, but who will go for us? Who will go for us? Shows us that when you are going for him, you're going in representation of him. You are an ambassador, amen, to God. When you show up as one who has the authority and who acts in the king's or in authoritative position for the government that you represent. You represent the kingdom of God when you show up in a situation. So you can't go to observe. You need to go so that you can see and respond to what's ever going on, knowing you have heaven's backing for whatever is done. You understand? Huh? So when he said that, he said, who will go, who shall I send, and who will go for us? Amen? Us tells us that God was looking for someone who will go and do what the will of God is. Amen. We have to see that everybody's going, but everybody ain't trying to do his will. Lord, I got to preach on that later. My time will get away from me. Then I said, here am I, send me. So he's ready to go. Now, listen, let's go on just a little bit further here, because I want you to see something. And Prophetess and I, as we were driving back and forth to these different preaching engagement, ministering engagement that we were on these past couple of days, we were sharing back and forth concerning this. And this right here is, as we read the full context of the text that they had, really begin to speak to us. And this is why the Holy Spirit began to really deal with me, because even though we're here, we got somebody to go now. Okay, I think we settled it. All right, he's seen them, and his life was changed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And your life can be changed too. Thank you, Lord, for changing my life. And then he cleansed them. See, here's the life code. Your iniquities have been taken away and your sins purged. So now he's clean. He's ready to do some stuff. Lord asked who will go. He said, here am I. I'll go. Oh, yeah, we preach on that. Hoop and holler and run around the church and people ready to go. But listen, you got to get on to the message he was given. This message here was one that told him that you're going to go, but it's going to be difficult. How do we know? Ninth verse, and he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return and be healed. What kind of a sign is this? You see, we watch churches that set up and try to grow and close down within 2 and 3 years. Part of that deals with the business end of it. Everything that comes in goes into your pocket. That's just poor business, regardless how you look at it, amen. You need to look at business school and business principles as leadership in the church of God, amen. Because when you learn business principles, then you can run God's business better. Amen? That's just all there is to it. Amen?
Amen.
Huh? But the other side of it is that they open up the church thinking that because they're so dynamic and the word is so powerful that as soon as they open up the doors of the church, people are going to come from the north, the south, the east, and the west, and they're just going to, you know, fill the place, and we're going to grow at such a great rate, and the power of God's going to be here. Oh, I can't wait, because it's just going to be wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for... And when they open up the door and they get three people who come in, and two of them is the husband and the wife that started it, and one other person, they close down the ministry because they said, we're not being effective. Guess what? If you wait, because the assignment is not the person that came, but the people who are connected through the person. Hello, somebody. So sometimes when your focus or your vision is off, you go and you do, but you don't see what you're trying to see. You become discouraged and you give up. But I want to encourage somebody else. If all you have is 5-10, pastor 5-10. Amen. If all you get is 50 and 75, 100, pastor 50, 75, and 100. See, if you're faithful over a few things, the Lord will make you master over many. Amen. And some of us don't want to go through few because we have visions of grandeur. Amen. And that vision is not God's will and his plan for your life. That's your plan and your will for your life. So you constantly trying to show people what you're doing next that's going to be the next big thing that's going to cause people to come in. Doc, I got it together. I found something. I heard this ministry say that they're doing this, that, and other. And we're about to implement that in our church because I believe that's going to be a blessing to us. Listen, stop before you implement somebody else's vision. Make sure your vision isn't compromised by that vision, because sometimes you get into something trying to find a way to grow something, and God has a growth pattern for you. God knows exactly why it's going to be this way and why he's doing it this way. See, sometimes you're not mature enough for the growth that you're seeking. So as you're going through the little things, he's teaching you those lessons that will cause you when you get grown and when you mature up and when the numbers comes in and when the resources come in, will cause you to be stable enough not to dishonor God, not to dishonor yourself. It'll keep you out of hot water. You need to learn these little lessons at the small level so that when you get to the next level where God is taking you, you don't make catastrophic mistakes. But you don't want to do that. You want to get in here and start and be big now. Take your time and grow as he's growing you. Amen. Look at this message here. He's given a message that tells him that he's not going to be successful at swaying the people to his message. Jeremiah, another prophet of this time, is told to prophesy, but he's told that they won't listen. I want you to go out and prophesy to them, but I'm telling you now, they're not going to listen. But I need you to go prophesy, because sometimes your message is not to be successful in your eyes, it's to be successful in his eyes, because he knows what he's trying to accomplish out of it. And being that he's not a God bound by time, he already saw the end at the beginning. He know what the people are going to do concerning your message. Yet and still, you have to be the voice of God. You have to be the mouthpiece, if you will, of God, and speak it into their ears so that they can't say that God didn't tell them, God didn't warn them. In each one of these situations, they have an opportunity to follow him, but the hearts are hard. The ears, you know, they can't hear. The eyes, they can't see. That's why he said, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Have you ever had a conversation and whatever you said, the person was like, I don't know what you mean. Okay, that's a difficult conversation because there's no clarity of information. Knowledge without understanding leads to foolishness. Amen. Keep on seeing, he says here, but do not perceive. You're seeing stuff, but you don't know what you're looking at. So it can't benefit you because you can't tell the details. Amen. Isn't terrible to have instructions that will move you on and keep you through hardship, but you can't understand or even perceive the writing? It's like trying to read Spanish and you don't know Spanish, or read French and you don't know French. Amen. The words are right there, but you can't not understand or perceive what it means. That's what he's saying. So we got to get into this later. I'm looking at my time and I'm down to a few minutes. Lord help us. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this word. Thank you for these people who have joined us. Thank you for those who are listening to archives. I pray right now, Father, that you would give us the ears to hear, the eyes to see, but touch our minds so we comprehend what we're seeing and hearing. I pray right now for miracle signs and wonders to manifest in the lives of the people in the name of Jesus. I pray for those who are not saved that they will pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I pray if they prayed that prayer that you would lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church. I pray right now and ask you, Lord, that you would help them to develop and mature and go on to do the work that you called them to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, I want you to come back on Tuesday night. We're going to pick it up right here at this Isaiah 6 and 9 because we need to get into this. The assignment that God gives us is not always for your pleasure, but it's always his will. But when you do his will, he makes sure that through your obedience, you have pleasure in what you're doing. Amen. So if you seek him first, he'll make sure he takes care of you. Amen. And you'll never lack in service to God. Amen.
I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen, and this is Christ, the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel around the world. Amen. Remember, it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.